Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Kipper Captains, episode 3.
Hello to everyone.
Now, Kipper Captains, that's the show where we talk about mystery.
Indeed it is, mystery.
Crime. Specifically Agatha Christie. We haven't branched very far on mystery. We're sticking with one author, but she is the queen of crime. So
she is the queen of crime, so there you go.
BJ, today we're going to talk about the body in the library. Sorry, we're not actually. We're not. We're going to talk about the murder at the vicarage.
All right, so tell me about it.
I'll tell you why I confused those two novels. So The Murder at the Vicarage is 1930. It's her 10th novel, and it's the first one to introduce Miss Marple.
Already, okay.
But after that, we don't see Miss Marple again until The Body of the Library, which was 12 years and 24 books later.
Really? Okay. So,
originally,
so this is the first Miss Marple book.
It's the first, and originally Miss Marple was just a standalone novel. You know, there wasn't that intention to make a series the way Poirot did. It took her a full decade more before she realized we can actually reuse this character.
Interesting, okay.
And the Miss Marple in this book is quite different. She's not likable.
Oh,
now, the vicar thinks maybe on the very last page, he thinks maybe she's not so bad. But previous to that, most of the village don't like her. She's not the lovable old lady. She's a, you know, nosy sort of, you know, everyone's a gossipy, nosy type of what they call old pussies in these novels, you know. And
is that the actual word they use?
Yeah, they call them old pussies, yeah.
Okay. Good Lord.
Yeah, I
know. Times have changed. Okay.
But that's kind of how they refer to them in these novels in general. And they say she's the worst of all because she knows everything, she sees everything, and you can't kind of get any privacy in the village from her. So I'm going to tell you the basic plot, and then at the end, you're going to guess who you think might have done it. And I'm not going to tell you whether you're right or not.
Go ahead.
So we open with the vicar, who is the narrator. And the vicar's quite funny. He's almost a narrator along the lines of Worcester, actually. He gets things wrong and he's a bit silly and things like that. So we open with the vicar narrator and he says, you know, it'd be a real service to the world if Colonel Protheroe was killed. And then his nephew Dennis says, well, if he dies, we'll remember you said that as a joke. So yeah, you can guess where it's going already. But
All right, okay.
So now his wife is there, Griselda, and the bad housekeeper, Mary, who doesn't know how to cook or clean or really do anything. But Griselda says, look, we have to have a bad housekeeper because we can't pay well. If we have a good housekeeper, she'll leave. So I'll just put up with a dirty house and inedible food.
The vicar
says, you know, clergy shouldn't marry. But within 24 hours of meeting Griselda, I proposed and married her anyway. She's 28 years younger than me. She's not, you know, a good housekeeper. She's not meek. She's the opposite of a vicar's wife, but she was very pretty. And, you know, even though she's incompetent, I couldn't resist her. So that's the family. Now we meet a Mrs. Price Ridley. She had put a pound note into the collection plate and was very angry when they went through the collection plate and the pound note was not there, because she's the kind of old Christian who only does it so that she can get noticed for doing it. So she wanted a lot of praise for donating the pound note, which back then was a substantial amount of money.
Yeah.
So the church warden, Colonel Protheroe, who, you know, we just talked about, says, well, then I'll go to the vicar and we'll talk about this missing pound note and we'll investigate the church's finances.
Okay.
So that sets the scene. The vicar's wife says, well, I'm going to hold a tea and scandal session with Mrs. Price Ridley, Miss Weatherby, Miss Hartnell, and a certain Miss Marple. And she says, Miss Marple's horrible and she knows everything and I don't like her. Now, the colonel's daughter, Lettuce, I don't know why she's called Lettuce, Colonel's daughter, Lettuce, arrives looking for Dennis because they hang out. She's forgetful. She misses things. She leaves things behind her. She misses appointments. She doesn't really care.
I sure her name is not Lettice. I sure her name is Lettuce.
No, it is Lettice. Yeah, it is. It's with an I. It's with an I.
Okay. All right. So Lettice, aka Lettuce. All right.
Yeah, I've just been calling her Lettuce, but yeah, it is Lettice.
Okay, good.
So she's being, you know, she's being painted in a bathing suit, and that's causing a minor scandal. They should see the drawings I do. But painted in a bathing suit, and there's talk of maybe the vicar's wife getting painted afterwards. But she says, you know, she's not going to wear a bathing suit. But the vicar's wife jokes to the vicar, maybe I'll let him paint me nude, maybe I'll have an affair with him. You know, she's very not your traditional vicar's wife.
Okay.
So Lettuce basically wants more money because her mum has left and her dad's quite tight in the purse strings. Lettuce says, well, Lettice, okay, let's call her Lettice. Lettice says she wishes her dad, Colonel Protheroe, would die. So that's the second person to say that.
That's not very nice, is it?
It's not, but apparently Colonel Protheroe's not really, you know, not actually a likable person anyway.
Yeah.
So
can see where it is going. Yeah.
If only I had some money, I'd go away, but I can't. If only father would be decent and die, I should do all right. And, you know, if he doesn't want me to die, he shouldn't be so horrible over money. No wonder mother left him. So in her mind, it's very, very simple, you know. And then there's a bit of scandal. Let's see, Miss Marple. There's a Dr. Stone and a Miss Cram. Those are two other characters we need to meet. One is an archaeologist, and then just this young girl who's being his secretary, but everyone thinks she wants to marry him for his money. Okay.
Okay.
And Miss Marple's scandal mongering and all that kind of thing. And they all say, but no nice girl would do it, be a secretary to an unmarried man. So that's the kind of morals we're looking at with these old ladies in the village. You know, it's scandalous to even be a secretary to an unmarried man. And they say she's going to share a hotel with him. Not the same room, but the fact that they're on the same floor, you know, is causing scandal.
Scandalous.
So yeah. The morality, you know. And Miss Marple immediately remembers old, you know, characters are from the village, old cases that link in. So that's how Miss Marple solves things, you know, as you know yourself. Not like Poirot, very much relating to like old village scandals and how the characters are similar, basically.
Okay, so she's kind of relying on her own experience, but even though it's kind of like her town experience rather than Poirot's cosmopolitan experience.
Exactly. Right? She just relates. She categorizes people. And then if you're in the same category as Billy, who stole the bacon from the kitchen, then you're the same kind of person. You might have stolen the jewels. That's how she works.
Yeah. Okay, okay. Okay, okay.
Okay. So, the vicar visits a certain Mrs. Lestrange, who's a new... I mean, Strange isn't her name, I think, deliberately. She's this new, mysterious person nobody knows anything about in the village.
Ah, okay. Okay,
so... we get a little hint of that. On the way home, he checks the painting studio, and the artist is not hitting on Lettice, but her stepmom, Anne. So they all thought the artist was painting Lettice and going to hit on her, but actually, no, it's the stepmom.
Oh, Lord.
The colonel's wife.
Oh, Lord. Anne. Would that be right? Yes.
Yes, Anne. Okay. So Miss Marple, of course, knew this because she knows everything. The wife is unhappy and wishes her husband, Colonel Protheroe, would die. This is the third person who wishes. And then the artist has dinner with the vicar and he says, that old Colonel Protheroe, I wish he would die. So four people have now said in the first 20 pages of the book, they wish the colonel would die. Now we meet the colonel who comes over to do the review of the books with the vicar. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, no surprise here. They find the colonel dead and the vicarage shot through the head.
Ah, come on.
So, I think you saw that coming. They call in the doctor, an old friend of Miss Marple's, Doc Haydock, and he says, well, it's not suicide. He was sitting at a desk and he was shot in the back of the head. So, he definitely didn't do it himself and there's no gun around. Okay. So, the vicar wasn't there because someone had rang him up to go and visit someone, which turned out to be a ruse. The person didn't need visiting at all. They weren't sick. His wife has gone to London and Dennis is off at tennis. So the people who live in the vicarage are all of alibis, essentially. So who killed the colonel? Well, it's an old Mauser pistol that exactly matches one that the painter, Lawrence, had.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
So this is how it looks. Lawrence is painting the colonel's daughter, trying to make love to the colonel's wife, and his pistol killed the colonel.
Okay. All right.
And very conveniently, like in these old books, a clock is smashed, which gives us the time of death. It's 6:22.
Tis very convenient.
The colonel has written a note saying, I can't wait any longer. And he's dated his note with 6:20. So they think the murder took place within those 2 minutes. But then it gets difficult because actually the clock was set 15 minutes fast and they're not sure about the handwriting on the note and it all gets more complicated. But someone's trying to make it look very easy.
Yeah, he's trying to make it look like it's between us 2 minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The artist confesses to the police and hands himself in.
Oh.
No.
Problem solved.
You'd think problem solved. Yeah, we're about 30 pages in, problem solved.
That's it.
But Miss Marple doesn't believe it. Oh. She's very surprised. And some people think that maybe he's protecting Anne. Maybe she killed her husband and he's trying to protect her. Okay. The doctor tells a different colonel. This is Colonel Melchett, not from Blackadder, but it's the chief of police for the county.
Okay.
And the doctor talks with him and he says, look, obviously it definitely wasn't suicide and things like that. And for some reason, he also says, look, the time of death, the body's been dead a certain amount of minutes. Lawrence couldn't have done it. It just wouldn't have worked in terms of the time that he arrived at the house and all that kind of thing. They also tell this to the vicar. And there's no reason, but for some reason, they continue to have the vicar in on all the police investigations, just because it was in his house, I guess.
Okay.
So now the wife, Anne, also confesses. She says, I did it with the colonel's gun. But they say, well, actually, the colonel didn't have a gun. And now they think she's protecting Lawrence, who's protecting her. Oh. And another clue is that the newcomer, Mrs. Lestrange, visited the colonel the night before, in the middle of the night, which is unusual.
Oh, Lord, that's a bit, yeah.
So we've got a lot of people wishing him dead. And we're not really sure what's going on. Miss Marple says Anne and Lawrence were both fine before the murder because she sees them. You know, she's always spying. She uses binoculars to spy, by the way, and pretend she's bird watching. Yeah. And Miss Marple says, I don't think it's either of them, but I do have a list of 7 people who might have done it. Oh. So they start asking about this shot. And then Miss Marple and the servant girl, Mary, both say they heard a shot, but they thought it was far away in the woods. They didn't think it was in the house, which, to be fair, you might think. Because apparently at this time, he was just shooting birds in the woods, you know, left, right, and center.
Yeah, it's kind of normal.
So the police actually clear Lawrence and Anne. They say it wasn't either of them. They totally ignore the fact that the murder took place in the vicar's house. They just assume that he could not possibly have done it. His alibi is watertight. And they tell him all their confidential information and let him accompany them on their mission. In fact, at one point, the chief of police drives over to the vicar's house and says, I'm just driving home. I thought I'd call in to get a whiskey from you. So he drinks and drives, gets a whiskey from the vicar and gives him all the sensitive information. And then off he goes. So that's kind of what we're working with. Mrs. Price Ridley complains to the police that she got a phone call that was scandalous and horrible and, you know, vulgar. Turns out all they did was say that she was an old scandal monger, which she definitely is, you know, but she thinks this is horrible and she wants a full police investigation into this phone call.
Oh, Lord. Okay. It's getting very steamy, isn't it?
So there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of suspects, but the two most obvious ones are immediately cleared of the murder. But there's a funny bit where she says, well, did they use bad language on the call? Depends what you mean by bad language. And the vicar says, well, could you understand it? Of course I could understand it. And then it couldn't have been bad language. A refined lady is naturally unacquainted with bad language. So she was a real lady. She wouldn't have even understood swearing.
Yeah, I get it. That's clever.
So there's an inquest where very little happens. Murder against a person unknown. They don't know who did it. Mrs. Lestrange is too sick to attend. The doctor says she can't attend. So people think something's going on here. And now Lawrence's cleaner, Mrs. Archer, she says the gun was definitely there on the day of the murder, although previously she hadn't been sure. So it turns out that they got Lawrence's gun because he just leaves it, it's not loaded, but with the bullets beside it, sitting on a shelf in the middle of his living room and invites half the town round for drinks on a regular basis. And then he doesn't notice when the gun was gone because his house is really messy. So anyone could have taken his gun at any time in the village.
I see.
So it's very easy to get him out of the picture, you know, that way.
Yeah.
So they think that maybe someone's trying to frame Lawrence. His gun was used. His lover's husband is killed. And there's an implication that he made the phone call to the vicar as well. But a servant says, well, actually, I saw Mrs. Lestrange speak to the colonel. They knew each other in the past. Is there blackmail? Is there something to do with the wife? Is there some kind of affair going on? We don't know. But everyone says, well, Mrs. Lestrange couldn't have done it. She's too pretty.
Right. Not a very great excuse, but okay.
It's not.
So, wait. So don't give too many spoilers away. It's hard to know who's it going to be.
Well, I only have a couple more lines of notes, and then I'm going to leave you to decide who you think. This is important. Raymond West arrives. He is the nephew of Miss Marple and a famous author. In this book, he's also less likable than in previous books. He's a bit of an ass. But he knows the archaeologist Dr. Stone, and he says, this man's not Dr. Stone.
Oh, what do you mean?
Now, Anne, Colonel Prothero's husband, finds a portrait that she's never seen before in her attic, all slashed up with a knife.
Oh my God.
And we find some the vicar in the study where the colonel died finds Anne's earring as a clue, but he thinks that Anne didn't leave it, but maybe Lettice did. Okay?
Oh my God,
Those are the clues.
All right, okay. Interesting. Well, I must say it's very intriguing.
The only other clue I'll give you is that the vicar starts to receive a lot of messages. People start to think that his wife might be cheating on him, but he has full trust in her.
Okay. Wow, okay. So, I'm going to guess now. It must be Dr. Stone and his secretary, the team up. To be close, because it's not Dr. Stone, and it is a bit of an odd setup. So that's the one I would go for, or it could be like it's done in one or two other Agatha Christie novels. It could be a whole set of people. Maybe combine Dr. Stone, Gladys the secretary, and perhaps Lestrange.
Okay, interesting choice. There was one other suspect, but he was so minor, he's only mentioned once or twice. He's some kind of church assistant. And since the murder, he's been acting very strangely and he's very sick. But there's never enough said towards him to really make you suspect him. But he's just the extra, you know, just to throw in. But it's an interesting choice that you've gone with. And obviously, I'm not going to tell you. But guys, that was the murder at the vicarage, the debut of a certain Miss Marple. That's it for Caper Captains.
All right, guys, enjoy.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.